Welcome to Black Girl Squee, where we celebrate Black Girl Magic with a squee! I am your co-host, Endo, and you can find me at Endo's Corner on Twitter.
I'm Needy. You can find me at Dust Daughter on Twitter.
Collectively, we are at Black Girl Squee, and you can also find us on Tumblr, blackgirlsquee.tumblr.com. Our email address is blackgirlsquee@gmail.com if you want to leave us some feedback or contact us. We are also on iTunes, where you can rate us and give us a five-star review. We would appreciate those. And you can also find us at our hosting home, blackgirlsquee.simplecast.fm. If you would like to support us in the show, we have Patreons. You want to support any of the Black Girl Squee Network, you can find that at www.patreon.com/dustdaughter. I also have a Patreon, and a Lauren, if you want to support me as well. We also have a spoiler policy, meaning we spoil shit. Usually that includes shows with black women leads, like How to Get Away with Murder and Underground. But should mention that the Black Girl Squee Network has a show dedicated to Underground on the network, Missives from the Underground, which you should check out every week. And as a word of warning, we cuss a lot. And we talk about peen. So if that at all bothers you, too bad. We also squee loud, and we squee often, and so you should adjust your volume accordingly. So, now, guess that means we need to get into our squee-worthy news. And, Didi, do you want to start squee-worthy news today?
Okay. Seeing as our first item is all about Inda, because yeah. Inda is doing all of the things. She's celebrating 2 years of her great music mix podcast, the Black Swan Collective. Sorry, Corner Store Press presents the Black Swan Collective. Let me get it right. you can find it on Mixcloud, and it's awesome. And she celebrated it with a live show. So tell us more about that.
Oh, yeah. Every once in a while, I come across a lot of like YouTube videos that feature live performances. And I've been actually wanting to incorporate more of those on the show, but I don't because I'm lazy. But so I just decided, you know, for 2 years, yeah, let's have a concert. And so this is just kind of a concert of sorts. So these are all like performances on stage in coffee shops or coffee houses, or, and in some like in studio things where they go to these live performance shows and things like that. And I just thought it'd be fun, you know, put that together.
That's one of the things I love about YouTube is that is when people, take videos on their phones or whatnot, and you get this sneak peek into somebody's concert for the free. So to put a whole bunch of that together, that's genius. I'm all about that. So congratulations on 2 years of the Black Swan Collective, and hopefully there will be many more. Please hit up Inda's Patreon if you want more of the Black Swan Collective, because supporting her is the only way to get it. Another great thing that Inda has created, because your motto must be ABC, always be creating, because you're always up to something. Inda has a new podcast called Inda's Corner. Sort of an audio essay show, and her second entry is called Waking the Witch, and it sort of takes its lead from her great zine called Soaking in Cinnamon, Soaked in Cinnamon. So I want to tell a little bit more about that.
Well, this month I decided to kind of just talk a bit about my development as a spiritual being, because I have, figured out, witchcraft is my spirituality or my spiritual path. And so since this is a series I kind of do where I look at music in a different way, I decided to talk about some of the music that plays into, how I practice, and also just kind of helping me, get through things, and kind of connecting me to, my spiritual practice.
And there's also an accompanying playlist with it.
It's on, I put that on Mixcloud, as it's one of the. It's actually, I think, the first one I did regarding that this whole area, but I actually did it as kind of a companion to a novel I wrote. It's not released or anything. It's I don't even think I've have it submitted anywhere, because I need to do some editing and revisions to it, because there was something I wanted to do with it. But anyway, I decided to go ahead and release that, because it's kind of a lot of the playlist I do now actually kind of derived from that in some way, because it kind of hit just the tone that I liked.
So please check this out. Where can we find that? Is that on your Patreon as well?
This is the
Or
companion. Well, the essay itself is on SoundCloud. The accompanying playlist is on Mixcloud.
okay. Well, just send me all the links so I can put them in the show notes. And also, Inda was featured as the guest on the most recent episode of Cinemosity, a great B movie film podcast that you can find at nerdylittlesecret.com. She talked about the weirdest sounding movie I have ever heard. From it had the monkeys and Jack Nicholson and Dennis Hopper. It was just it sounded like a trip.
It was.
So I think one of the hosts was like had been avoiding that movie and now had to come up and watch it. So that was
But he
hilarious.
ended up kind of enjoying it, though.
Well, he's British.
He's British, they like weird shit.
I didn't say that. I didn't say that. End of it. at in this corner. So yes. So just I'm sure you can find a lot of this on by following Inda on Twitter at Inda's Corner. checking out her blog, cornerstorepress.wordpress.com, and checking out the links that we'll have in the show notes to all of this great stuff. So, congratulations, Inda, and here's to
Thank
your many
you.
more years of creating.
Let's hope.
Hit that Patreon up, y'all.
All right. So, moving on to what?
We have to do this. So to
Oh.
Inda Lauren, we give a big
Thank you. Okay. All right. So, move on to our next item in Squeeworthy News. Michaela Cole is the future of comedy. And if for some reason you've been under a rock for the past couple of years, Michaela Cole is this brilliant comedian coming out of the UK, and she's has a hit show called Chewing Gum. She did this show. It was based on a stage play that she also wrote called Chewing Gum Dreams. And now it is probably one of the most successful comedies we have ever seen, coming out of the UK. And so she, everywhere, for the past couple of weeks and all. And one of the things that she's been featured in is she's been in Complex, and they do this profile on her, and she's just a wow. She's just an amazing person. I'm probably going to talk about her a bit again in a while, but you should definitely check out this profile in Complex. Is this thing? She's now 29, and she's been a slam poet, a playwright, and a stage actor. And then in 2015, she became the showrunner, writer, and star of Chewing Gum, which is a semi-autobiographical. And so they take on a lot of topics on this show, from like religion to even period jokes and things like that. And her just kind of the way she looks at Beyonce as a deity, which is hilarious. And I
Yeah,
mean,
and they also tackle sexuality and
yes,
microaggressions and
yes,
fetishism, and it just,
yes. Oh, Lord.
stuff that we deal with a lot, but we rarely see on television.
Yeah, and the thing is, she's just so delightfully awkward. It's like you can feel the secondhand embarrassment, but you still like her. And I believe, she had she said it perfectly in that episode, the one with fetishism. The woman asked her, "Are you even 17?" She's like, "I happen to be a I'm a grown woman. I just happen to make a lot of childlike mistakes."
Okay. But she's in rare company in that she writes, she
Yes.
created and writes her show. I mean, it's just her and Issa right now. Well, I guess you would include Shonda, but she doesn't also star in the show
Yeah.
that she writes.
Yeah.
And it's funny, in this article, she actually gets to visit with Issa Rae, and they hit it off.
Yeah.
She talks about how the BAFTAs that she won for best screenwriting for Chewing Gum, and for best female performance in a comedy,
Yes.
they definitely helped her get her way as she was writing the second season of Chewing
Yeah.
Gum, because she
Yes.
says she always writes her episodes too long. They're supposed to be like 24 pages, like a page a minute, and she
Yeah.
always writes them like 34 pages. She's like, no, see, what's going to happen is everybody talks really, really fast. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. Because everybody's complaining that Michaela, the scripts are too fucking long. But the second season, she didn't get those complaints because she has two BAFTAs now. So kiss her
Yeah.
ass. So
Exactly.
this is another way that awards are kind of important.
Exactly.
Yeah, white folks made them to pat themselves on the back and to just basically publicize their industry. But for people of color, for women of color, these awards can give them a bit more creative freedom and
Yes.
more opportunity. So people that say that awards don't matter, they kind of do. It sucks that
Yeah.
they do, but they kind of do. So if you can make them work for you,
Yeah.
like she's doing, that's good.
Yeah, I mean, and speaking of opportunity, she recently got cast in a adaptation of a musical, Been So Long. So, I mean, she's getting to do other stuff. I mean, if you've also known, she's also on another a television show called The Aliens, which is actually really good too. So, I mean, these things are giving her all these opportunities. So, yeah, that shit's important.
So, so definitely check out this profile in Complex and check out Michaela Cole's work. Wow, these pictures are stunning. Anyway,
Oh, she's so adorable.
but
She's
nope, she's
striking.
also gorgeous, but
Yes, she's very striking.
So check out this profile and check out Michaela Cole's work. And to Michaela Cole, who dedicated the whole season of Chewing Gum to black women, we gotta give you a score.
Love her so much.
Looking out, Michaela.
Yes. All right.
Speaking of great British talent, Laura Mvula is filming a documentary with the BBC about anxiety and depression. These are illnesses that she has dealt with for a long time, and which is wild because the music that she does, you would never think that
Yes.
she deals with this kind of stuff because her music is so vibrant and
Yeah.
upbeat. But she says that panic attacks destroyed her marriage and almost wrecked her career. But the documentary will be on Woman's Hour, which is a radio magazine broadcast on BBC Radio 4. And it's not clear when the documentary will air, but I'm sure we'll hear about it long before it's ready to air. And so it's great that more black women are coming out about dealing with these illnesses and attacking that strong black woman myth. I'm all
Yes.
for it. And hopefully, just giving us examples of people who are dealing with it or who got through, or just like us. So to Laura and Vula, we give a big squeeze.
All right, and next, well, we already mentioned Underground here, but Underground is a show that just keeps giving, and so what they are planning to do, what we shall see next week, in fact, well, this week, I should say, is a special event solo episode of Underground featuring Aisha Hines as Harriet Tubman. So, I know, right? And so they said that starting at, well, 8 p.m. Eastern, that the show in its entirety will feature a solo performance by Aisha Hines, whose electrifying portrayal of Harriet Tubman has already captivated viewers and critics around the country. Tubman, the Underground Railroad's most famous conductor, risked her life repeatedly in order to free her family members and lead anyone willing to journey north across the hostile territory to freedom, a task she believes is her God-given mission. Wow.
So yeah, they're showing it at an earlier time. There's going to be back-to-back encore airings of it through the night. So get your DVRs ready. It's coming on 8 p.m. 7 Central instead of what 10 p.m. 9 Central. I'm so excited because I've missed Harriet the last couple of episodes. The episode is called Minty, which is sort of a reference to Harriet's birth name, which is Araminta Ross. And I'm ready. Hines is going to knock it out of the park. I just feel it. I mean, she's already been great in the little scenes that we've seen of her, but to have a whole episode dedicated to her, whoo, I'm ready.
And that's actually really, I'm glad that this show like takes such risks, is because I don't even know if she's, I don't think she's like a regular cast member either.
Not.
So they're giving this entire guest spot to one person because, and I mean, this is such, I think just such a huge deal, especially for a black actress to, you know, be carrying this show that she's a guest on and playing such an important historical figure. I mean, wow. And she's been doing it beautifully in the episodes we've seen her on, and just to be able to see her take that whole hour, because we were all excited about seeing her as Harriet Tubman when we found out, you know, this was going to be cast, you know, a part of the show. And when she was introduced, yeah, she knocked it out. And so to see what she's going to do with this entire hour. I know.
Sorry.
So yeah, I'm gonna be looking forward to, you know, that episode of Mrs. from the Underground for this one.
Oh gosh. We're gonna have to. Shout out to Aisha Hines, shout out to Misha Green.
Yeah, 'cause that,
The
oh my God,
Underground has
she,
been
this, yeah,
ridiculously good this season. I mean,
exactly.
when Angela Bassett falls through for an uncredited guest appearance, that's when you know your show is the shit.
Just showed up out of
So,
nowhere. It's like, oh my God, it's Angela
I want to
Bassett.
be on
I know,
Underground.
right? I know what the subject matter is. I don't care. But man.
Anyways, so yes, this show is the shit.
Yeah. Man.
I'm so ready.
Yeah.
Google Play better not fuck up my season pass. That's all I have to say. To Aisha Hines, future Emmy winner, I give.
Ooh, that show was so good. So good.
So good. Okay. Before this turns into Mrs. from the Underground
2.0.
episode. Yeah. Let's get into a little bit of Catch the Fade.
Ooh, and this is you this week, 'cause I mean.
Oh Lord. I'm gonna try to be brief.
Oh, don't worry about that. Go off.
Well, yes. Well, a lot has been a lot of people have already discussed the various issues that and incidents that brought about the need for the hashtag Black Women at Work. There was the disrespect of Maxine Waters, the disrespect of April Ryan, the disrespect of Angela Rye. All media and media personalities and journalists and legislators in the example of Maxine Waters. People respected in their fields who have a lot more credibility than the people who are attacking. I don't even want to say these white men's names. And I definitely don't want to say too much about the diverse group of men who are caving for these white men. 'Cause because I'm tired and they make me tired. I think Brittany Pacchietti, I'm sorry, is the creator of the hashtag Black Women at Work, where lots of women, lots of black women, talked about the micro and macroaggressions that they receive at work every day, from talk about their hair, to being punished for other people's mistakes or being fired for other people's mistakes. There were several comments from people who would give their height and their weight, just to show how tiny they are, and ha and to say, people always say that they find me intimidating. Like, several comments from different black women that have been told that they're intimidating in the office. And they'll say, "Well, I'm 5 foot,
One.
120 pounds," or something
Yeah.
like that.
And the person telling them this would be like 5'9".
Men, women alike will say that they're intimidated by these tiny black women, and I'm like, that says a lot. I mean, it's that whole thing that they said about Mike Brown, where all of a sudden this little 18-year-old boy is this giant angry black man that's, coming to attack them or something like that. They just things get overblown and over-exaggerated when it comes to black people and black bodies, and it's really weird and harmful. And to have these dynamics work out in the workplace, where you're just trying to mind your business, do your job, collect your check, but people don't want to communicate with you because they're so-called intimidated by you, and you haven't done shit. It just does. It limits productivity. It limits communication. It limits a lot of things. It limits how far you can rise in an organization. It's a lot. Black women at work deal with a lot. And to have people disrespect you on top of that, like to have Cheeto Head talking about tell April Ryan to set up a meeting with the Congressional Black Caucus. Like, I'm a journalist. That's not my job.
That's your job. You are the Never mind.
And yeah. So, Black Women at Work. I'm glad that a lot of people use that hashtag to get some stuff off their chest. And shout out to the black women that can't
Yes.
use that hashtag,
Yes.
even though they probably have a lot of shit they want to get off their chest. Nicole Perry, because I know that they've probably received some microaggressions at work. They could tell some stories, but they might be under a gag order, or they don't want to risk getting new work or losing what work they have. So shout out to Brittany for creating the hashtag, and shout out to Maxine Waters and April Ryan and Angela Rye and all the other black women at work, who deal with this bullshit and rise above. And the second thing that needs to catch the fade is all of the corporations and all of the filmmakers who are all too willing to erase black women's work.
Girl.
So first, we got to talk about the soda pop commercial. I'm not naming them because they've probably already been trending on Twitter all week. So y'all probably know the soda pop I'm talking about. I don't need to give them no publicity because they ain't giving me no goddamn money. So a lot of people have heard about this soda commercial where a model
Model in quotation marks.
calls herself being a part of a protest movement. I don't understand why they would even set a soda commercial in the middle of a protest. I guess they want to be relevant, but they ended up looking really out of touch.
Oh my gosh.
She ends up throwing her wig at the one black person in the commercial, the
Black
one black
woman.
woman who was looking at her sideways. I appreciate that look. That was the disrespectful look. Like, no, this bitch didn't. And ends up giving a can of soda to a police officer to stop what could have been an armed, ended up a police shooting.
Just no.
No. This commercial has been dissected all over Twitter. And there was a really interesting thread.
You still just get the gist of what it was. And I mean, I'm like, this is terrible bad. This is just so terrible bad. The optics do not look good at all. Okay? It's just, wow. And it's like they said, that image of her tossing her wig at this black woman just nonchalantly, not even looking at her. Peak white feminism. How could you,
Darn
like,
it.
how could you
Really
just
not probably
not
not gonna be able to find this.
see how that would?
The thread is by a woman named Christiana A. Mbakwe, who goes by Christiana 1987 on Twitter. She says lots of issues with the soda pop ad, but the glaring absence and erasure of black women is a huge one. Black women carry movements on their backs. Although I think soda pop are implicitly aligning themselves with the young Blue Lives Matter and MAGA, Make America Great Again crowd, with that ad. That's my reading. That ad was for the crowd who think Beyonce, who has a Pepsi deal, shit, a soda pop deal, is a cop hater. I think they were trying to balance themselves out. I think the ad seemed so clumsy because they couldn't go full blown, Make America Great Again. So they rode the fence, even though it's obvious where they stand. We don't discuss it much, but Cheeto Head won the white millennial vote. The ad will land well with its intended audience. It's basically a Blue Lives Matter advert with what they perceive as edge. They just tried to soften the subtext with a Muslim woman. And I think Soda Pop did enough research to know their intended audience won't find that ad offensive. In fact, they'll love it. And I'm pretty sure more brands will follow Soda Pop and signal to the Cheeto Head voter with a cosmopolitan veneer. It just won't be as hackneyed. So that's an interesting viewpoint from Christiana 1987. That makes you think. Yeah, it's not just lack of people of color in the decision-making process. It could be possibly that they wanted this to get out. They wanted this to leak. They were well aware of the uproar it would cause on social media. Maybe they were even counting on that as a way to, because now more people are talking about that damn soda pop than ever before. Nobody
They
was really talking about
talked
that
about on
nasty
the
shit before.
anniversary of the death.
Yes, because one of his daughters said, if only daddy had had a soda pop can or something like that.
Think that's what prompted the apology. They finally went ahead. I mean, I'm pretty sure they already had it ready after the outcry, but I'm pretty sure that was when they're like, oh, wait, we better go ahead and release this now because this is starting to look worse than we thought.
But that was after how many think pieces and Twitter threads and trending topics on Twitter and all of that. I hate to say some of Twitter kind of did their advertising work for them. So by the time they yanked the ad, the damage was done already. But they announced that they yanked the ad, and they went out of their way to apologize
Girl.
to the quote unquote model that was in it and say that she had
Who
no
thought she did?
involvement in the writing of the. We know she didn't write the damn ad. We do know she showed up and collected her check.
Hello?
No, that's what we know.
Ah, shit.
But they're falling over backwards to say, people are calling her a child and all this other stuff. And I'm like,
Yeah.
it's funny how a 20-year-old woman is a child when they want to absolve responsibility, but Mike Brown is an 18-year-old man when he gets gunned down in the street. Fuck this soda pop. It's nasty anyway. Fuck any of the other companies that soda pop owns, which means I have to say goodbye to Taco Bell. That's gonna hurt. But I will do it because I actually know how to boycott. And it's not by continuing to support with my money. That's but y'all white people can continue boycotting Beyonce and buying those t-shirts to get your boycott on if that's how y'all want to do it.
No.
Yeah, she's laughing all the way to the bank on that one. And then we shit, and that's not all because there's more erasure. Because why this lead, why is this is. About erasure of black women's work is that, like Christiana 1987 said, the black liberation movements have been built on black women's backs. Black Lives Matter was created by three queer black women. The before Black Lives Matter and this recent black liberation movement, the civil rights movement was organized on the backs of black women. You just didn't see them on the podiums. And the same thing goes for the black liberation movement in the UK. Most of the work was done by black women. And yet, John Ridley, in his infinite dumbness, has decided
It's a spirit.
to erase that part of history for this. Is it a doc? I don't think it's a documentary, but it's
I
a
think it's
TV
specifically British Black
miniseries
Panthers.
that's supposed to be about the British Black Liberation Movement. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's called Gorilla. It stars Idris Elba and Frida Pinto, who says that she was cast because South Asians at that time, or anybody who was non-white, was able to call to deem themselves politically black. And Frida Pinto said in an interview that it's not about skin, it's about political blackness. And John Ridley, the writer, I don't know if he's directing, but I know he's supposed to be writing it. I think he wrote the screenplay for
It's part, it's
12
like
Years a
this. He
Slave.
said,
And I think him and Steve McQueen fell out for some reason. Probably because he's an asshole. But he's arguing with he's ups. I don't know. He's arguing with a black woman on Twitter, a British black woman, who asked, "Why? Where are the black women in this movie?" Zawe Austin is also in the movie. People who may not be familiar with that actress, she is a biracial black actress. She's been in Fresh Meat. She's been in, what else has she been in? I can't think of something that it'd be else that US audiences might have. It'll probably come to me later, but she is the only actual black woman that I've seen in the cast. But yeah, John Ridley and another actor who is part of the cast have been going at it with black women on social media who are asking why black women and their work has been erased from this miniseries. And John Ridley is giving these excuses like
And then he
he's in an interracial relationship or
started that
marriage
off like, well, not to
and
make
he
this
wanted
personal,
that
but I'm
reflected.
personally in a
That don't
what the
have anything to
Are
do
you
with the price of
serious?
tea. Like that don't have shit to do with this. And then
Because black women
they
are
go on to
questioning why
say
you
like
erase
it's
them from their
questions
own
like
movies.
this, which is why we cast Frida
And I
Pinto.
mean, it's like they tried to argue these. They were in a Q&A session about it somewhere, and they tried to argue these women down. Like, well, you weren't there in the movie. How would you know? Like, actually, my parents were, and I grew up with them, you know, in this movement. So yeah, I know what I'm talking about. You know, like, I mean, thank you. Thank you.
Like
And
they would
then
know
it's
better
like
than you, American John
one of the
Ridley,
things that's just
who's ashy
really
and beat.
irritating me about the whole thing is that there are headlines now. Frida Pinto breaks down in tears after, you know, being confronted with, you know, after this Q&A session and stuff like that. And it's just really making me mad because they are just painting this as, you know, these big, you know, scary black women attacking, you know, because I believe that the word they used was attacking, you know. Poor little Frida about this, and I'm like, thing is, somebody was like, she wasn't in tears, she answered a question. You know, she probably didn't like having to answer to it, but you know, nobody attacked her. And see, this is why I want to get back to Michaela Cole, because I know she is talking. She was on Twitter this morning. Well, it was this morning for us, and I know this is exactly what she was addressing, because she says here, quote, "As a black woman, sometimes all you gotta do is sneeze and some other woman gonna start crying, saying you intimidated her. Those kindergarten tears, Tears they learned would erase their wrongs and get them cuddles. I'm not even doing indirects right now, I promise. A lot of women have learned that when the heat in the kitchen is too hot, crying in front of people will cool things down. In front of people, the person is important here. It's not just about them feeling upset or they would excuse themselves. They want you to see them crying because they want the tears to do something to the other person. If Sarah has wronged Mary, crying is a quick technique to subconsciously confuse Mary into thinking she has wronged Sarah. And it works. Suddenly, Mary is trying to soothe Sarah and can no longer go back to the point in front of this blubbering, hurt with the no-cause version of Sarah. Of course, crying is great. Crying, letting people see you cry is great. But not in the above situation. In this sitch, you're a fucking Muppet. I have had many women cry in my face, normally at work. I'm not your boyfriend. Your tears have no effect on me whatsoever. When Sarah cries, plainly and unemotionally, ask her if she needs to leave the room. She may blubber no, and she puts some emojis, some crying emojis there, and just keep crying. Then say, okay, Sarah, when you are ready to stop crying, I'll be here to continue the adult conversation. Watch her face crash into shock. Maintain your poise. Keep the voice calm. Never show pity. Like a dog, the princess will learn this mechanism doesn't give her treats.
And I think Cynthia Erivo had a response to that. Didn't, like, at the bottom of the thread, she added Michaela, and said that she went through some of the same stuff. On Broadway, like, so. That's good stuff. Yeah. And notice she could have said,
well, because also here it's not just
specified
white women, it's
that it was white women, because you know we're all familiar with the phrase white women's tears, non-black. But it's interesting that she didn't even specify that.
That's why I'm like, okay, this is why I love Michaela Cole. She will always have my love and my respect.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Right.
She just broke that shit down perfectly.
Wow. The same people that cape for these asshats that attack black women for no reason.
Yeah.
The same people that cape for folks like John Ridley who erase black women for no good reason. Not that there is a good reason, but are the same folks that probably listen to Kendrick and will, you know, proclaim him a prophet because he wants to see stretch marks on asses and natural hair. Okay. Fuck y'all too. Fuck that song, fuck that video. It's not even that good, but y'all just get so hyped for anything he does, and the minute anybody comes with a little tiny bit of criticism, which is only, like, I promise you, it's a drop in a bucket compared to all the shit y'all give people when we're partying over Serena, or we're partying about Beyonce, or we're partying about any black woman that gets just a fraction of the accolades they deserve for the brilliant work that they have done. When we talk about Viola, when we talk about Lupita, when we talk about any black woman and just celebrate their achievements, y'all are always there to like shit on our parade, and y'all mad because we have some pertinent, relevant, accurate critiques of this stupid ass Kendrick song.
I'm just still really upset about that. They making the headlines
can catch
about
the fade.
Oh, she was attacked. She breaks down in tears, and I'm looking at a headline. It says that she breaks down in tears after being attacked by Black Lives Matter activists. There was absolutely nothing to suggest that these people were Black Lives Matter activists. Absolutely nothing. They They really just try to, this is just their way of trying to shut down all the criticism and like what, making it invalid that black women are understandably upset about, erasure in their own work.
If you
Exactly. I
don't
dare you to
value
try to do
our
it
work
yourself.
and our presence in these movements, then try to live
Yep.
without it. I wish all of us would sit on our collective
Yep.
behinds and or just go about, just take our energies and channel it into doing exactly what the fuck we want to do. And leave all the protesting, leave all the activism to these ashies and
Yeah.
see what
Yeah.
happens. I wish we could just I wish we could boycott
Yeah.
them. I just wish that all of us went, yeah, and just, I mean, they're gonna call
Yeah,
us selfish
exactly.
anyway. They're gonna call us everything but a child of God anyway. So we might as well do what the fuck we want.
Okay. And there's some actual
All
prints.
right. Let's talk about some dick.
Girl, it's like I saw him before. I think I
This
knew
week in that print.
that he was the new Black Power Ranger, but his name is Ludi Lin, I think. I hope
Hey.
that's how it's pronounced. Oh, he is playing Zack. But yeah, girl, he started coming across my Tumblr dash, and good Lord have mercy. I mean, girl, are you seeing this? Okay. Anyway, Ludi Lin, he was born, I hope
We
I say
just
this
got
correctly, he was
started
born
on This
in
Week in That Print, and
Fuzhou.
Enda has already lost
Fuzhou.
her
I'm not sure how
words.
it's pronounced, but he was born in China. They don't say how old he is on here, but And yeah, he appeared in films like Monster
Holy
Hunt, which is
shit.
really good. That's a really good film. I think it's still on Netflix. He was also in Lost in Hong Kong, and he was also in that series Marco Polo, which I had to quit watching halfway through because it was such a waste of a beautiful cast. Anyway, he says that his cultural references are in equal measure Chinese, Hong Kong, Australian, and North America. So yeah, he says, "I don't want to be pigeonholed as an Asian guy on screen. I want to beat back the caricatures of Asian roles in Western cinema, which are often simplistic and melodramatic. They should be capable of being humorous, strong, and sensitive." I mean, honey, you be whatever you want to be. Just look at you. These tight-ass shorts showing everything.
Yes. And could you be whatever you want to be in these tight ass shorts, though?
Girl, he
Wow. I feel like I can see his future kids.
look, if they
God
do,
damn.
nobody's gonna complain at all.
These Calvin Klein's about
I
to
mean, under that
bust. Anyway,
six pack, eight pack, whatever. Oh. Girl. Girl, them thighs. Crush me with them thighs.
These boxer briefs is working hard to keep everything in.
It's like.
Have mercy.
But you see this? He got a lot going on
Tat in
here.
this corner.
It's just
Every
like.
Yes, I see. That's
Just like
a lot of print.
you can't. It's like he doesn't have a bad spot anywhere.
Yes,
It's like,
it's
well,
trying to come out and greet
I
us.
just so much. Just so much to look at. Yeah, but I mean,
Yes.
but
And we
yeah, if you want to
totally,
pay attention to his
yes,
face,
we
just make
told
sure
he's got
he's
a
shot from
gorgeous
the waist
face as
up with his
well,
shirt on, because otherwise
damn,
you probably you gonna
he's
miss the
really filling
face
out
if
everything
not.
in them Calvins.
Hold up. You the one. He does. He really does.
You horny ass.
Yeah.
He's got a beautiful face.
Just, yes. I
He
mean,
is just a well-made, handsome man, who is cut for the gods and
congratulations on your everything,
muscles
sir.
on top of
Just
muscles,
congratulations.
and then you see that muscle in them
Congratulations
calves
on your existence.
and so. And And you might want to
Look,
go a size up
like the
in the
same
boxes.
way,
I don't
reason
want
we
you to
don't tell
squeeze
Chris
nothing
Evans what size shirt he wears,
precious.
we're not going to tell him what size
You know,
drawers he's
don't
supposed to wear.
bruise nothing precious
We're
down
just
here,
not.
so I'm just looking out for you.
Well, Dede, why don't you just go relieve him of of those drawers, and you know we don't have to worry no more. Hell, just like just have him not wear any drawers at
Well,
all.
I'm just saying,
That's the solution. No drawers
I
at
worry
all.
for the print, you know. You know what? Fuck it, I will. I'll do it. You know I'll
He
do it.
fun. Dear God, he fun.
I couldn't handle no drug. Ah, excuse me while I
I
pass out. No, we gotta finish the show. God damn it. Yeah, he. Holy shit. Okay. Thank you. That's what I needed.
on a little
I feel
bit.
energized. I was tired, but now I have been delivered.
I know, right?
I have
Yeah.
delivered.
All the way
I
back.
do like men
Lord,
a
he
little
fine. I
bit.
mean, God damn, he fine.
I was gonna boycott him in the last segment. But now I'm back. Now I'm back.
Yes. Yeah. Oh,
Good
yeah.
grief. Yes, thank you for that
Yeah.
entry in this week in that print. Because sometimes it
I
is all
know,
about the print.
girl. We're not gonna tell him what. You know what? We'll just never
Ludian.
have him wear a
You know
shirt
what?
again.
I
Just stay
need
on those
him to be
warm
on
beaches
Twitter
wherever
thirst
you be in
trapping
these
Mike
beautiful
Lewis Tan.
locations, and never put on a shirt ever again. You are banned from shirts,
That
Louis
means,
Tan, and Ludiland is
does he
banned
ever
from
wear a
pants.
shirt? He.
Oh yeah, that's true. We your ain't shit aunties, y'all.
You.
That's just who we are. Right.
Oh my God.
All
We
right.
need to put this
Okay,
in the
so
housekeeping notes that we ain't
today's
shit.
woman's vocab word is displaced. Displaced means lacking a country, nation, home,
No,
etc.
yeah.
A displaced person has been forced to leave their
Oh
native
my
home.
Lord.
This is also
Woman is
referred to as
vocab.
forced migration. A displaced person who crosses an international border is usually legally designated as a refugee. Those who leave because of economic hardship are called economic migrants. Those who are forced to leave because natural or man-made disasters are called environmental migrants. Some also use this term, use the term displaced person derogatorily, but I won't hear. So, displaced. Yeah, and then want to be banned from here. Yeah.
So
Yeah.
the Syrians that just got bombed
After bombing theirs.
by Cheeto Head, on some Frank Underwood shit.
is fucked up.
But that are also banned from entering this country by said Shia.
Yeah. Through no fault of their own. Yes.
That it is. They are displaced. Through every fault of Cheeto Head, who is still under
And we do
investigation
mean
by the
y'all,
FBI
because we ain't vote for him.
for
Yeah.
involvement and collusion
Yes,
with Russia.
exactly.
Because that's the president y'all voted for.
Yes.
It wasn't us. 94%,
If you gotta
bitch.
live without it, trust me, you ain't gonna survive.
Black girl commandments.
Right. So,
Value black women and
that's our
value
show today.
our labor
So, if you want to
or
contact
live
us, you can find us on
without it,
Twitter at
bitch.
Black Girl Squee. You can find me at Endless Corner. You can find Dee Dee at Dust Daughter. Once again, our Tumblr is blackgirlsquee
So,
at tumblr.com. If you want to email us, that is blackgirlsquee@gmail.com. You can find us on iTunes, where you can give us a 5-star rating and give us a review. You can also find us at blackgirlsquee.simplecast.fm, where our podcast home. And also remember, if you want to support us, we also have Patreons. Remember, for Black Girl Squee, that's patreon.com/dustdaughter, and you can just look me up at Enda Lauren. And so, until next time, bye.
bye. Me and all my girls. Can't nobody stop us. Me and all my understand it. That's 'cause we so magical.